desire your prayers for the Lord to bless his word this morning. I desire to lay a foundation really for another message to go with it tonight. I want to speak to us this morning on the voice of the Lord, and I want to establish the fact that God does have a voice and he does speak to mankind. I want to say that he is speaking. This morning he is speaking. He's sending something to establish that fact that you personally can hear the voice of the Lord. He has spoken in the past, and we want to establish that. But we want to also establish the fact that he will speak to his people. So I was looking at the creation, and I realized that a lot of the Bible, a lot of what the word of the Lord says, is very surface. That sometimes we have to read between the lines. And I thought about the spoken word of God. The very first things God ever spoke were very powerful words. It was by the spoken word that everything was created. All that you and I see, all that we cannot see, it was very powerful words that were spoken by God. I believe that God still speaks powerful words today. As we continued to look into the first part of Genesis, we found that the Lord said, he looked on everything and he said, it is very good. I believe that I could read between the lines and say that he would possibly say it like this. I just love it. It was very pleasing unto the Lord for what happened with his spoken word. I think about you and me sometimes, maybe we that sow. There's a great pleasure in the finished product. Maybe when someone is working on building a house, I would say that anyone that was a builder, they love the finished product. I think that's what God was saying when he said everything was so good. So as I went on down in the beginning of the scriptures, and I saw that after God created all of the creatures of the earth, he wasn't satisfied to just have that as his creation only. Maybe he could have stopped right there, and maybe the whole world would have been a little better than what it ever turned out to be. But he desired man. And so he created man in his own image. He created woman from man. And he said in the 31st verse of chapter 1, and God saw everything he made, and behold, he loved it. I said that. He saw it was very good. I think about when he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. That was a portion of himself that would always belong to him. No matter what man would do, man still belongs to God. He will stand before God in the end of his life. His soul will go back to God to be judged. But yet it was something that God loved. He still loves the soul of every man, woman, child, everyone on the face of the earth. He's yearning for that soul to belong to Him fully and completely. And He wants to do with that soul what He did with Adam and Eve. It really doesn't speak of Him walking and talking with Adam and Eve before they fell. That scripture followed it. It was when they knew they were unclothed and they were trying to cover themselves and they were expecting the voice of the Lord. We don't know how long that Adam and Eve lived in the garden. They, as long as they ate of the tree of life, they lived. As long as that happened, I believe God was coming in the cool of the evening and He was walking and talking. He had a relationship with Adam and Eve. And as He came in the garden, He said, "Where are you?" Now He knew where they were, but He wanted them to expose themselves to Him, to come out and say and confess. Well, you know, that's what God wants with you and me. He wants to be able to walk with you and talk with you, and He wants to have a relationship with us. But it takes us doing something in order to have a relationship with God. Also in the beginning, He still desired a higher level of communication than what He would have had with animals. Animals you can talk to. I talk to my dog and my dog knows what I say. He can't talk to me. So the animals were not able to talk back to God, but God wanted to commune with somebody that could talk to Him and that would listen to what He had to say. So as I thought on the voice of the Lord and how there are many scriptures in the word of the Lord that says, "And God said," "And God spoke," and it goes on and tells what He said. And I thought of some, there's a few that we're going to mention this morning, but God spoke to a lot of mankind. I say He did it audibly. You and I have the word of the Lord. This is a form of God speaking to you and me. That's for another message. And yet, in the Old Testament, I believe He spoke audibly. I believe He had a relationship with them that He wants us to yearn for in our life, in our walk. I'm thinking of Abraham. Scriptures spoke about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and God was called the father of them. They're patriarchs of the Bible. And so there were many others. We won't be able to even cover very many at all. But there was Samuel. Samuel was just a little boy. And he heard a voice. And this voice simply called his name. He got up. He went to see if he was being called. And they said, "No, we didn't call you. Go back to bed." It happened three times. The third time he was instructed, "The next time there is a voice that calls your name, you answer and say, 'Speak, for your servant heareth.'" And from that time on, Samuel became one of the prophets that God spoke to audibly. He was a godly man. He was used of God. And then we might have Moses. Oh, Moses. God spoke to Moses in miraculous ways. And we had Daniel, and we had Joseph, and there's just so many that we couldn't really cover them all today. It goes over into the New Testament as well, that God spoke audibly. We know when Jesus was baptized of John, there was a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, some heard it. Those that were seeking for God and following God, they heard the voice. But there were others that were standing around, and what did they hear? They heard something that sounded like thunder. And then sometimes it was referred to that he had the voice like many waters. So it depended on the hearer to determine if it was the voice of the Lord or if it was just a sound that went out. As we do think about Abraham, and he heard the voice of the Lord, he went out and he followed the instructions that God gave Abraham. And numerous times he heard the voice of the Lord. It doesn't report anyway that anyone else was with him when he heard the voice of the Lord. So it wasn't someone that was saying, "Well, where did that come from? What was that?" It was just a relationship between Abraham and between God himself. And over in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, this is one of my favorite parts about Abraham when he was called. The voice of the Lord came to Abraham and said his name, and what was his response? He talked back to him. He said, "Here am I." And he received the instructions that he was to go and sacrifice his son. I think that we have the right to read between the lines in the emotion that he might have felt. And yet there was that one that read between the lines and recorded it over in the New Testament. And he said, in the New Testament it said that Abraham believed God could raise him from the dead. Yes. It doesn't say that. Abraham doesn't say that. So we have only a surface report. But I can imagine how he might have felt. He didn't want to slay his son. He may have battled it as a human being. You and I might would have battled something, put to the test like that. But Genesis 22, and it's between verses 1 and 18, and we're not going to read all of that because we do know the account. But it says, when Isaac asked, "Here is the wood, and here is the fire, and where is the lamb?" And his answer was, "God will provide a lamb." And they continue on, and he follows through, and he proves his love to God, and he raises the knife to slay his son, and a voice stops. "Abraham, now I know that you love me. Supremely, you love me." I like that part. I enjoy reading that part. And then they see the ram that is caught in the bush. But you know what Abraham learned about God? In his voice, in his communication, in his relationship, he had developed a trust already. It wasn't a first-time test. But he developed a trust in God and what he said and what he said back to him. He named God a special name then. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He knew from his relationship with God, his communication with God up to that time, that God was not going to fail him. He built his trust. He had the ability to understand God to a greater degree because he had a voice. He spoke to him. And then we have Moses, which in the book of Moses, we couldn't cover every time that the Lord spoke to Moses, but we want to bring some of it out. And it's in the third and fourth chapter of Exodus. Moses was a man that God ordered his life from his birth. The fact that he was protected and the fact that he was hidden and the fact that he was adopted by the king's, by Pharaoh's daughter. He lived in the palace. He was trained in the palace. He was taught. He was educated. All of these things, God had his hand upon Moses. But it doesn't say that he spoke to him until he was in the desert. Until he had ran for his life after he slew the Egyptian. And he ran and he found himself down in a desert and taking care of sheep. And he was there for many years. And it doesn't say that God ever spoke to him until one day. He looked up and there was a bush that was on fire, but it would not burn. It just continued to burn. And he stepped aside. Now, what if he had decided, well, that's just a strange happening and I'll just leave it alone? No, he was curious and he stepped over to look at it. And when he did, a voice came out of that bush and said, "You're on holy ground. Take off your shoes." And he knew then that was the voice of the Lord. And the voice continued to communicate with him and told him, "I'm going to send you to be a deliverer." And if you read all of that, you'll find that Moses communicated. He even tried to get out of it. He tried to say, "I can't speak very well. I'm not good enough to go down there and be your voice." One of the scriptures in the fourth chapter, it says, God said it, "Who hath made man's mouth?" Well, God has a mouth, and he made man's mouth. And he says, "I will be with thy mouth. I want you to speak for me. I'm going to speak to you." And as it turned out, he did allow his brother Aaron to be the one that would be the speaker. But as you read about Moses, many, many, many times the word of the Lord says, "And God spoke unto Moses, and God said this," and he told him exactly what to do. And when he met the Red Sea and didn't know how to get across, and the voice of the Lord came down and spoke and said for him to raise his rod. And oh, I want to tell you, the voice of the Lord is manifested all through the Old Testament. We sometimes read it and just sort of skip over it. But it's there. He was a God that spoke to his people. Thank the Lord. So, the 19th chapter, we're going to skip on down with Moses. And it's the 16th verse. He's now in the mount. He's going to receive the Ten Commandments. And he's been given instructions to instruct the children of Israel. They are to sanctify themselves and to be prepared to stand before the mount, but not touch the mount. So in the 19th verse, and it says, "When the voice of the trumpet," God spoke through something, an instrument, and he spoke through a trumpet that sounded long and waxed louder and louder. And God answered him by a voice. I'm thinking of this part right here, and I'm going to just sort of insert this. When will there be another trump sound? And it will be the voice of the Lord. It'll be in the coming of the Lord. The scripture tells us that on that last great day, there will be a loud trump that will sound, and it will indicate time will be no more. And it will be a voice or a sound that will be heard in the whole earth at one time. It will be the time when Jesus will come in the eastern sky, according to the word of the Lord, and he will be with all of the holy angels and all of the witnesses, the cloud of witnesses. I want to tell you, you and I, if we remain right here still alive, we'll hear it. And we will know it's the voice of the Lord. And it's announcing the end of time. So here's one place that God used a trump to make the people know his voice. Did they understand in audible tones or in distinctive words? No, but Moses did. Moses was instructed what to do, and God answered Moses by a voice. Thank the Lord. Well, that's just another place I wanted to give to you. I want to go now to Elijah. Elijah was one that heard the voice of the Lord over and over, many times. He was a prophet of the Lord. He was not afraid to put his trust in God and to trust his word. And the most outstanding event, I think, at least in my mind, is when he met with the priest of Baal. This is in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings. We won't read everything there either. But he's coming down to proving who the one true God is. He is unafraid. He is not intimidated. He knows the one true God. He's heard his voice. He's followed him. He has done his commandments. He's carried out his work among the Israelites, the children of Israel. And so he's come down now, and here's the children of Israel has followed after Baal, and they followed the priest of Baal, and they were in trouble. And so let me see, verse 24 is what I want, the 18th chapter. And Elijah said, call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire. Okay, this is another voice. It's not an audible voice, but it represents the voice of God. And he's going to say, now, whichever God is the true God, he'll answer, he'll speak by fire. And let him be God. And all of the people answered and said, it is well spoken. We agree with it, in other words. Well, we know the account, how that they did their best to get their idol gods to send fire and consume their sacrifice, and it never happened. And it went on all day, and finally, it says it was at the end of the day or at the evening, when the evening sacrifice would have been. And Elijah gave all of the instructions to make it an impossible thing. Dug a ditch, filled it with 4 barrels of water, did it the second time and the third time. Everything is saturated by nature. It should not have burned. That's right. Yes. But he continued to have confidence that the voice of the Lord would speak, and it would be by fire. Thank the Lord. I love this part too. Don't you like to read these things? It's so inspiring to our faith. So I want to read, though, his simple prayer. You know, sometimes you and I think we've got to pray a long time, and we've got to say, I do. I know I get under that, and I've got so many words. But you know, God can hear our words, yes. Just a simple prayer,
yes.
And he will answer,
yes.
By fire. Oh, not literal, but he will answer.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. So it says in the 36th verse, came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, here's all he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. God spoke it to him. It doesn't really say he spoke it to him and said, do it just like this, but he spoke something to him that Elijah knew what to do. And then he said, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. That's all he said. It doesn't even say he said amen. He stopped right there, and what happened? It said the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And then all the people recognized it was the voice of the Lord, of the true God. Thank the Lord. Well, that's one of my favorite parts of Elijah, that we find that after that he was threatened and he ran for his life in fear. And you would probably think after such an experience that nothing would have affected Elijah in any negative way, but it did. So he ran for his life, and God came and found him on the way. And he said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah answered him back, and he said, oh, I am so jealous for the people of God. And he said, I'm the only one left. And God said, I have some thousands that's not bowed their knee. But it didn't seem to affect Elijah. He continued on. And so then he found himself in a cave. And the word of the Lord said, he said, the Lord said, you go stand in the mouth of the cave. This is verse 11. And behold, the Lord passed by. Now the Lord can pass by you and me, and we can know it. He may not say a thing, but in this particular case, he sent a strong wind. And maybe if you and I were there, we'd say, oh, that's the Lord speaking in this strong wind. But it says the Lord wasn't in that. And then he sent an earthquake, a terrible earthquake, got his attention. Maybe that's the word of the Lord. Maybe the Lord is speaking in the earthquake. No, that the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, the Lord was, he sent fire. Now we've already read that he sent the fire, and it was the word of the Lord. He was speaking through the fire, but he was not in the fire. And after the fire, what happened? A voice. A still, small voice. How many have you heard say, well, if the Lord ever gets a hold of me, he'll just have to, and they'll say some outstanding, fantastical something to get my attention. God wants to get our attention with just a still, small voice. Okay, I want to go now over to the New Testament to Paul, Acts the 9th chapter. And there's many more that we could do to establish the fact that God does speak to his people. The 9th chapter, we're going to be looking at verses 3-7. We know the account. His name was Saul. He was persecuting the people of God, and he was on his way to Damascus. And you know, this is known as the Damascus experience. Have you ever heard of anyone among us and they had a Damascus experience? It's because something happened that changed his life instantly and completely. He turned into a different man. Maybe we're looking at the prayer that Hezekiah prayed. He was given by the word of the Lord through the prophet, get your house in order. You're going to die and not live. And the prophet left. And Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and cried out to the Lord and told him, you know how I have lived. You know my life. And God heard it and gave him 15 years. And before the prophet was out of the courtyard, sent him back and said, you're not going to die right now. How many of us has prayed the prayer of Hezekiah? Because we know that God can hear us. And we're reasoning with God. Can you reason with God? I think we can. He gives us the privilege of coming before him and reasoning with him. And a Damascus experience is a similar experience. I hope that we all have a Damascus experience. Amen. That we know the voice of the Lord. Yes. And it goes on and it says that as he was going, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice. And it said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And a voice told him what to do. Yes. God can help you and me to know what to do. Thank the Lord. I believe it. I know it. I've experienced it. But these are just some things we want to establish. That God spoke audibly to the people of God. And we're going to find that he doesn't necessarily speak audibly to us today. Our last scripture for this part is in Matthew, the 17th chapter, and we're going to be looking at verses 2-5. And this is where Jesus is transfigured in the presence of Moses and Elias. Peter, James, and John are there with him. Verse 2 says, he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with Jesus, with him. And then Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make Here are three tabernacles for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. But there was a voice. A voice that came out of a bright cloud overshadowing them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." I think this is a little message that is to be received by us. Hear him. We're not going to have the experiences like we have read here this morning. If you've ever heard an audible voice that came from eternity, I'd like to know it. And yet we hear a voice. And we can know what the voice is saying. So I believe we want to end with that part and just let that be our introduction to the next part for this message. Let us hear the voice of the Lord. Yes. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. Oh, do we feel him? Most of the time we don't feel him. We don't see him. And we don't audibly hear him. But he does communicate with us. Thank the Lord. So I desire your prayers that the Lord will help us to be able to convey the true burden. The true burden of our message is in the next one. Because the Lord is still speaking to his people. And he's still working with his people. Pray for me.